Chapter 17. Dangers on the Path. Just as in the school of the Rosy Cross, time and again a glimpse is given of the path of salvation, it is also necessary from time to time to speak of the dangers on the path. We do not refer here to the obstacles and problems that we ourselves create due to our I-centrality and self-maintenance, but to real dangers that are around us and in our microcosmic system because of our binding, our close relations with the dialectical nature order. We are in and of this nature. Every bodily cell, every fibre of our being is built of the substance of this nature, and its powers do not let go of their prey so easily. There are, therefore, dangers on the path which do not arise so much from errors of life or from focusing on the self, but develop purely and solely through our structural connection with the earth. You must not, as the ancients did, consider these dangers personified as devils, earthbound spirits, demons or elementals, but as direct consequences of magnetic laws operating in this nature. The earth's whole atmosphere is a complicated magnetic field in which various tensions, vibrations and radiations occur, forces which in a perfectly natural way firmly grip all life that expresses itself on earth in various forms and cause it to circulate in a rotating or spiraling motion. The pupil who is called by the universal spirit field, who is invited to the original human life and must therefore undergo various transfigurative changes, is in fact attracted by another magnetic field, that of the immobile kingdom. The magnetic field of the spirit is completely different in nature from that of the dialectical nature order, so the pupil is faced with the task of escaping a magnetic field to which he is wholly organically and naturally connected. That this is not easy needs no further explanation. To escape the natural grip of the earth's magnetic field, a profound process of self-deliberation and self-activity is necessary. It involves a struggle between the pupil and the grip of a magnetic field, a struggle, so to speak, to be seized and taken up with one's whole being by a different magnetic field. This process, therefore, involves some very personally individual organic problems. The glorious and sacred Universal Brotherhood has prepared several groups of those striving for universal life and several world leaders who have authority in one way or another for a new revival and a new message to the world. This new message has been made ready to impart to humanity as from the second half of the 20th century as a final call to all who are still able to hear. That is why we deliberately make use of somewhat scientific terms. It is with heartfelt gratitude and prayerful thoughts that we may speak of this new activity, the Brotherhood. It is provisionally only an indication, as a further study will take place later. The message of the Brotherhood, which will usher in a new phase of the great cosmic revolution, will shed new light on the structure of the universe, on the quality of universal life, and on the inanity of material life and endeavour. It will put the axe to the artificial science we call theology, and in a way we would not have thought possible. It will completely secure the foundations of the universal teaching of transfiguration for the threefold dialectical consciousness. When the message has been delivered and fully worked through, it will simply be between those who will and those who will not. Many veils and false appearances will fall away, and the so very tiring and exhausting work of unceasingly declaring oneself and contending with imitations will no longer be necessary. All will have to choose without hesitation for the new or for the old life. There will be no other option, neither intellectually nor mystically or practically. The message spoken of here also bears a name. It is the appearance of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, of whom the sacred language says that every eye will see him. This appearance does not refer to a phenomenon in the sky that will last for a few hours or days, but to a process, a grand declaration of the universal brotherhood which has begun in these times. All our fellow men are invited to meet the Lord when he appears. This appearance has now become a reality, and it is about this that we wish to inform you in an elementary way. A magnetic field is a gravitational field. Such a field does not merely contain a living form within its powers, but also the nature of the form, the life that inhabits the form, the consciousness that dwells in it, the sensory faculties it possesses, cellular and organic manifestation and so forth. All these are entirely explicable from that gravitational field. The life essences and forms arising from it are entirely one with it. If we are attracted into a certain magnetic field, and we are indeed attracted by the gravitational field of this world, then in the most absolute sense, we are one with this world. So if another magnetic force gains power over us, if our center of gravity lies in a different gravitational field, a microcosmic revolution will be the inevitable outcome. The microcosm is then gradually severed from the one magnetic field, which means that the form, the life, the consciousness, the sensory faculties, the cell structural revelation, the entirety of the microcosmic system, all of which is explicable from that magnetic field, start to wane, start decreasing, and a whole new other different life comes into manifestation with countless consequences. In short, transfiguration develops, a process of declining and ascending, a farewell and a meeting, a process to which the school has been inviting you for years, a process before which you will be placed in the near future with an absoluteness and inescapability like never before. Why? Because the Son of Man has appeared in the clouds of heaven. If you do not understand this word very well, we will translate it for you. It says that just as a microcosm can be seized, called by another magnetic field, likewise a macrocosm, a world, can also be affected. We refer to this process as a cosmic revolution, and it will be this cosmic revolution which places us before the imperative choice either as a form manifestation in a magnetic field to share the natural and lawful fate of that field entirely, or timely and emphatically to go the way of transfiguration and thus merge into another magnetic field. If we choose the latter way, we must accept the struggle of breaking loose from the Earth's magnetic field. This struggle entails the pupil overcoming nature, scientific resistances, which the ancients personified as dangers or for which they chose symbolic figures to facilitate reference to them. We mean that the problems of the Earth's magnetism and gravitational force have always been known in the universal teachings of all times in all aspects and their solutions. For a particular category of seekers, the Brotherhood has recorded these problems and their solutions in a number of ageless stories. We would like to point out for you two of these stories because they have strongly appealed to the imagination of millions of Westerners since childhood. We think here of the killing of the infants in Bethlehem and Joseph and Mary's flight to Egypt with the infant Jesus. This history is so intertwined with our imagination, its image is so evident in us. The art of the centuries has depicted the flight to Egypt in so many ways that we can hardly imagine that these dramatic events refer to wholly natural scientific magnetic workings which are highly topical and still apply daily to every pupil who really wishes to walk the path. Perhaps you know what is meant by the history of the three sages from the East. In the determined pupil, the three aspects of the dialectical consciousness elevate, and right from the start, the dawn, the East, they turn to seek the Christ, the Holy Star. As soon as these seeking wise men from the East begin their journey, they are confronted with the laws of nature, with Herod, the ruler of this world, the king of the land. That is, a conflict develops between the magnetic field of ordinary nature and the pupil's aspiring endeavor. This conflict is blatantly obvious because ordinary nature, ordinary life, stands in complete enmity towards the higher, other life of the immovable kingdom. A compromise is totally ruled out here. or otherwise formulated when the pupil's microcosm undergoes something of the universal field of the spirit as a magnetic force, this newly born new principle will immediately bring conflict into the system. It will immediately become a sign that will be refuted, as the Messiah Isaiah says, the disturbed natural magnetic field, which functions both microcosmically and macrocosmically, will try to restore the broken balance. Herod will try to kill the child. We know from ordinary nature that a magnetic disturbance produces storms, atmospheric agitation, earthquakes, and the like. And what involves the macrocosm also involves the microcosm. So the contact with the magnetic field of the Christ quite naturally and lawfully brings about a forceful agitation in our life. We could denote this agitation as becoming ill. Indeed, when the pupil seriously pursues the path, such an agitation in one's own life may result in a deterioration of what we call our health. Then nervous conditions and physical difficulties are most likely to arise, and it is clear that the accompanying symptoms of our nervousness include wrong actions, which can result in conflicts with relatives and others. Extremely entangled situations then weave a spider's web, so to say, in which we hang caught. Then the conflict with the earthly magnetic field becomes a complete victory for Herod, and our new beginning, our newborn child of renewal, is eradicated by Herod. This danger may become clearer to you when we point out that a conflict with the earthly magnetic fields has a very powerful effect on the internal secretion, and an incorrect internal secretion can render our activity powerless or turn it in very undesirable directions. Given this highly current danger, the sacred language gives us a warning which is formulated in the flight to Egypt. And it says in the sacred stories that the wise man from the east does not inform Herod any further, and that Joseph is warned in the dream to flee. We understand by this that the consciousness must be warned of the approaching conflict, and indeed, every pupil is warned when a conflict with the magnetic field is imminent. He, she is then not advised to fight, but to flee. We hope you will understand this warning. If we fight, we will lose, or at least such dangers will develop that defeat looms on the horizon. But in fleeing to Egypt, we shall be saved from all the dangers from the magnetic impulsions. In this regard, the flight to Egypt indicates a state of neutrality. Just as in natural science, one can make instruments insensitive to magnetic influences by surrounding them with a layer of lead, likewise the pupil, by no longer actively engaging in any way with the intended danger, but by exercising the utmost caution and adopting a wait-and-see attitude, can insulate him or herself against the intended influences. What really matters is to keep the threefold consciousness in a perfect state of calmness and to preserve the fullness of faith received. Provided the consciousness knows what is going on, remains calm and balanced, and does not force or make itself get nervous. The earthly magnetic field can exert no influence on the internal secretion. The threefold consciousness must sacrifice itself with gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the divine gift received. The gold of the believing open heart, the frankincense of the life-giving hope, and the myrrh from the purifying cup of suffering of love.